As I mentioned earlier, of course, this is our last Wednesday of 2015. And it's amazing. The city is starting to come down bit by bit. And Kenny and Tom had their crew of guys out there today, and they were just going to town. Man, I walked in there, and there was walls already dropping. I'm like, man, what are you guys doing? It's awesome, though. So, it's kind of a sad thing to see the city come down. But, we've got this Wednesday here is our last Wednesday in 2015. It's the night before New Year's Eve, right? Everybody has a good, fun time New Year's Eve. Some people stay up, watch the ball drop. I used to be one of those out there, woohoo, New Year's, yay, right, making all the noise and all of that. And yeah, nowadays doesn't really happen that often. You know, I have to find out about the ball dropping like later on, because you know, I get up, it starts getting dark and kids get going to bed, and right, and next thing I know, I wake up and hey, it's 2016, woo, all right, go back to bed, right? Yeah, you know. And we all talk about, you know, the end of the year, we've got New Year's resolutions and all these things. I mean, I stopped making resolutions years ago. You start making resolutions to not make resolutions and all of that. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with making a resolution or not, you know. Maybe you're a person, you're big on that. You like that. You come to the end of the year, now you got your resolution list, your things you're going to tackle. Maybe you're like me, you've tried resolutions and you fail every single year, you know, because things happen and life happens, and so you just quit. But I mean, whatever it is, whatever your traditions, whatever your things, whatever you like to do come the end of the year, the one thing that is really cool about a year ending and a new year starting is it is kind of like a new slate. It's kind of like things are in the past now, and now I've got a new opportunity to maybe have a new year. You know, I think back to this year, 2015, and this year, to me, I don't know about you, but to me, it was a total blur. It was, we tore down the city, we had Bethlehem, and we're tearing down the city. That was 2015. It just, I don't know, there was a lot of things going on this year, but you know what? I am looking forward to 2016. I'm looking forward to just some of the new things that can happen. You know, every new year is a mystery. And I know some people probably don't like mysteries, but I love mysteries. Mysteries are great, right? You know, change and things and new and all that. I love it. In fact, I was talking with Caleb Rich earlier, because he's got a wedding coming up just around the corner, right? He's getting ready to end his single days and become a married guy. And so we were talking about weddings and this and that and reception and all of this. And see, I was one. The minute Pastor Larry, who did Sean and I's wedding, said, you know, you're now husband and wife and presented us, I was ready to keep heading right out that door and keep going. It was like, let's go. Oh, but we got a reception we got to go to. Really? Do we have to go? Let's just go. You know, because I'm ready to hit onto the new life that we have. That's now in the past, right? That's already done. I'm not one who likes going back over and over and over the same photos. I think we watched our wedding video once, you know, and that was because we just got it back. We wanted to see it recorded okay. We haven't watched it since then. And now it's on VHS. We can't even watch it. I don't even have a VHS player anymore, right? So, you know, new things are cool. I always like looking to the new things. And that's what a new year has ahead of us. And regardless of what you do in life, maybe new things happening at work, maybe new things will happen in your family, whatever it is, there's a new opportunity, not only for us individually, but as a whole, as a church body, as a local assembly, as part of the body of Christ, to step into 2016 with a greater opportunity to now focus more and more on serving Him more faithfully. Make 2016 the year where we step up a notch on our faithfulness in service to Christ. You know, every minute that goes by, people are stepping off into eternity. And it's only through the faithful in Christ, day after day, minute after minute, that go out there and share Christ, do the lost in the world have an opportunity to spend eternity in heaven as opposed to separation from God in hell. And we got to make each year the year that we serve even more faithfully, even more faithfully. And so tonight we're going to look at this passage here in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to get three principles on how you can faithfully serve the Lord going into 2016. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verses 1 through 3. Paul writes here to the Ephesians, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Listen, if you're going to faithfully serve the Lord, if you're going to make 2016 the year that you serve more faithfully, the first thing you got to do is you got to find contentment where you're currently serving. So you got to find contentment. And that's what we see here in the midst of all these great things in verses 1 through 3. We see Paul demonstrating the importance of contentment. You know, contentment is a great word. I know some of us may not be liking that word, right? Content, No, but really, contentment is a great word. That word contentment means the state of being happy and satisfied. Isn't that cool? Who doesn't want to be happy and satisfied? I mean, if you don't want to be happy and satisfied, there's a problem somewhere. I mean, what's the opposite of happy and satisfied? Sad and ornery, I guess. Dissatisfied, right? I mean, that just sounds, woo, let's go into 2016 being sad and dissatisfied. You know, let's just boo-hoo every day. You know, no, contentment, what a great word. It means to be happy and satisfied. See, finding contentment is an important part of faithfully fulfilling your role in the body of Christ, which is service unto Christ. And see, all of us have an important role to play. That's why Paul says here, right, and here in verses 1 through 3, right, in verse 1, he says, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. See, he's encouraging all believers that we need to be walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. See, the word worthy there means appropriately or suitably. Okay, we need to be walking, we need to be living appropriately or suitably. Vocation means an invitation or a calling. In other words, what Paul is saying here is that we should be living a life that is appropriate for a believer in Christ. In other words, if we've trusted in Christ and we're telling others that we're believers in Christ, we should be living our life accordingly. Okay? That's how we should be living our life. Paul says, right, I beseech you. He says, guys, all of you there in Ephesus, all of you that have trusted in Christ, man, I'm urging you guys, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And how can you do that? Contentment's a great start. Contentment is a great start. You know, there's some key things that Paul shares here on what, how does contentment look like, or what does contentment look like? How do we see that lived out? Look at verses 2 and 3. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So if we have somebody who's content, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith they're called, in their life in Christ, what does that look like? Looks like lowliness. Lowliness. Paul says, with all lowliness. That means humbleness and modesty. We need to approach life with humility. We need to be humble. Not ready to puff up, right? Not ready to inflate our egos, but to be humble and modest. He says meekness, lowliness, and meekness. That meekness means gentleness or mildness. Being gentle with others. Not quick to get angry, not quick to get all fired up, not quick to get all worked up, right? Get in someone's face, but to handle in meekness, being humble. What goes along with that is he says long-suffering. Long-suffering, it means forbearance or fortitude. It means when life throws you a curveball, you don't quit. You stay the course, right? Long-suffering, to suffer long. You hang in there. And then there's forbearing, right? We need to be forbearing. That's one some of us maybe aren't really good at, right? Because it means to put up with, right? You know, because, I mean, our whole life in Christ is focused on what? Others. It's people. And, man, you got to put up with people, right? And I know I'm not always, you know, the most reasonable person to deal with sometimes, especially if I'm tired and cranky, right? You know, Shauna can attest to that. You all can talk to her later. She's in the nursery, right? But, yeah, forbearance, putting up with people. That's where that humility and all that, you realize that, you know what? I'm not as good as that person here, and they're not as good as me, and we're all just sinners down here and trying to be faithful in Christ, and let's just do this together. And that's what goes with this last point, this view, this look into the idea of contentment. Because see, if you're content, humility and meekness and long-suffering and forbearance, and this last one, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, they all kind of fall into play, right? See, it's when you're not content when you start looking at what other people are doing, right? And you start comparing yourself, right? And you don't want to put up with that person because they're irritating you and they're cramping your style, right? You don't want anybody cramping your style. But if you're content, doesn't matter. Yeah, you may be cramping my style, but who cares? I'm still serving Christ, right? You need to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That means doing what you can to keep the body of Christ unified. Paul says these are important. You know, when you look at that church split, what does it all come down to? Lack of contentment, right? One group doesn't like what the other group, or one group wants what one group doesn't have, and they fight about it, and they don't come together, and next thing you know, there's no unity. Paul says, don't let that happen. Be content. You see, contentment is a key factor in putting all of these principles into practice. If we're going to be faithful, even more faithful in 2016, we got to find contentment. See, when you're so focused, right, on the next best thing, you're going to miss out on some of the great blessings and the great ways that God can work through your life now. You know, I look back in my life in Christ, and I know there are opportunities that I missed. I dropped the ball because I was so focused on the next best thing. Oh, I can do this, and I can do that, and if I put this in place, and that in place, and all this, and I'm so far focused, I'm not satisfied where I'm at, I missed opportunities. People that came into my life, I could have shared Christ that I missed. If I was just content where I'm at, you know what? Let me do the best that I can where I'm at now. Contentment is so important. Nothing wrong with looking to the next best thing, right? Or planning for the future, or having goals, or meeting resolution. Nothing's wrong with that. But do it in the context of being happy and content where you're at now. See, Paul says in Philippians 4:11, right? He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Whatever state. Man, if great blessings come and I've got some wealth and I can do a lot of things, great, awesome. If I lose it all, great, awesome. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know, I always share with the singles and the young adults at the Mug and people that I do premarital counseling with. You know, when Sean and I started dating, we started talking about getting married. One of my conditions for us to get married was, are you going to be happy living with me in a cardboard box under a bridge? I'm serious. And I said, I want you to really look at this seriously. Because we have no idea what tomorrow may bring. And we could be living in a cardboard box under a bridge. And if you're not content to be with me no matter what, we're going to have some rough times. We might as well not even get married. We might as well not even get married. We don't know. You know, we may all of a sudden just be praying and studying and thinking, and next thing you know, God wants to go us have us go to the Amazon and be missionaries. You don't know. You got to be content wherever you're at. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That's where the real wealth is, right? When you find contentment, you're going to be faithful, and you're going to see God do amazing things in your life, reaching others. You know, make the most out of your time now. Don't get so caught up in the next best thing that you miss out how the Lord can use you where you're at. You know, keep in mind, when Paul wrote this, he was in prison, right? He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. I mean, he was writing these words of just grace and mercy and joy and contentment and faithfulness and encouragement sitting in a prison cell. How many of us would write just a wonderful, encouraging letter to our loved ones if we were in prison? You know? Woo! Life is awesome. I'm in prison, Mom, right? But I'm praising God, right? Yeah, I don't think most of us would do this. We'd be like, call the lawyer, get me out of here, right? No, but Paul was in prison. And yet he was content to still be there and do whatever he could from that prison cell. Listen, if you can find contentment where you are now, just serve the Lord with everything that you have. Be happy where you're at with what you're doing. You'll be better prepared for however the Lord can use you in the future. You'll be better prepared. You'll be set. You know, there's been great opportunities in my life that came along. I was happy where I was at. And all of a sudden, an opportunity opened up. I'm like, wow, yeah, I'd be glad to take that. That if I was rushing towards it, I would never have been prepared. And I probably would have done a horrible job doing that. But learning contentment where I'm at now makes all the difference. And as we go into 2016, let's think about this first point. How are we going to really faithfully serve the Lord in 2016? Well, first way is by finding contentment, resting in his contentment. The second way is by understanding your heavenly status. You got to understand what your heavenly status is. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. This is some neat stuff that Paul says here to them. He says, there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. You have a heavenly status now in Christ. And listen, if you're going to faithfully serve the Lord, you got to understand this status. You got to understand this position that you have in heavenly places. And I mean, he gave the Ephesians here just a great teaching in it. Flip back to Ephesians 1. You can see it real quick in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places in Christ. See, where's our spiritual blessings? Right there, heavenly places. We have this great heavenly position. Look over at chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, look at this, he might gather together in one all things, what? In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. You have this position in Christ. It's a heavenly status. It's a heavenly position. Over in chapter 2, he talks about, he says to them, he says, "Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." In verse 22, he says, "In whom you're also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." He says, we're the household of God and we're a habitation of God. We've got God in us through the Holy Spirit. We've got this great heavenly status. We've got an eternal purpose and a position. And back in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul demonstrates the nature of your new heavenly status here in verses 4 through 10. In verse 4, he talks about one body, one spirit, one hope, right? We're called the body of Christ. There's one body that's all together in Christ, right? One body, one spirit, one hope. There's one Lord, one faith. One baptism, verse 5. Verse 6, he says there's one God and Father of all connected to heavenly things, spiritual things. There's grace given unto all of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And verses 8 through 10 talk about an awesome Savior, Jesus Christ, that gave his life and conquered death. He's in us. There's a great heavenly position that we have. There's a great heavenly status. When you are in Christ, you may be in the world, but you're no longer of the world. And along with that great new position in Christ, we've got a great eternal hope, right? And that's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have the hope that we will live eternally in heavenly places in Christ. I always love how Pastor Dan puts it when he'll do some funerals or memorial services. I mean, it's fantastic because he tells them the persons in Christ, they never experienced death. There is no moment when a believer in Christ will die. Now, those of us still down here, as we see our loved one pass away, we say that they passed away or they died. But technically, no, they didn't. They went from this world to be with Christ. They went from the earthly realm to the heavenly. There was no moment where there was death. It is all life. And that's the promise. That's the blessing. That's that heavenly status that we have in Christ. You know, don't get so caught up in the world that you forget that your true home is in heaven. I mean, think about this. I mean, if the platform here from, let's just say, here to here, maybe from me to Cody, right, is eternity, right? This little coin right here I have in my pocket, that's our life down here in this world. Compared to eternity, and I mean, eternity keeps going. That's our life right there. That's how much time compared to eternity is our life. That little coin, that little distance. And I mean, think about this. Think about how much time, how much effort, how much focus, how much energy we devote to this time right here. Right? I mean, if you think about it from like here to here, we really don't think much, right? Because we're little and running around and buzzing around and all that kind of stuff like that. Then all of a sudden you start getting knowledge and growing up and you start looking at things and you start making plans, right? So then you have all these big plans right here. You're going to work really hard, right? You're going to pack away a lot of money and everything so that this little time right here, this little woo, if any of you can see it, little white band right there, you can play as much golf as you want. Right? That's what we do. And I'm not saying don't save money or anything like that. You know, that's nothing wrong with that. But we focus so much on this little time period and do absolutely nothing for that. Absolutely nothing for that. And quite frankly, everything that we do for this time period should be focused on this time period. Hey, if I'm going to save some money, it's so that I can get more prepared and do more things to reach more people to prepare for this time frame. You know? I'm going to have the 2.5 kids with the dog and the white picket fence. Those 2.5 kids always puzzle me on those things, you know? It's so weird. I just picture a pair of legs, right, walking around. You know? That's our 0.5 child, you know? Just a pair of legs or a foot. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, you know, if you're going to do all that, focus all that, it should be in the hope that it'll all be focused towards serving Christ. Your kids will grow up honoring Christ. Your house can be used to reach others for Christ, right? And so on and so forth. You know, that's the whole idea. Why? Because you've got a heavenly purpose, a heavenly focus, a heavenly status. Paul puts it this way in Colossians chapter 3. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's what you seek. Heavenly things, godly things. He says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Focus on the heavenly things. Don't get so caught up on the worldly things. You know, if we're going to make 2016 a year where we're serving more faithfully, we got to be content, and we got to start focusing on our heavenly status, our heavenly life, making that the priority, making that the focal point. And the last point is by maturing in our Christian walk, maturing in our Christian life. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verses 11 through 16. Paul says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. If we're going to make 2016 a year we serve more faithfully, we need to be growing. We need to be maturing in our Christian life. You know, in our life down here, there comes a point, right, when all of a sudden we got to take full responsibility. Right? There's times where we got people taking care of us, but then there's got to come a time, right, where we're responsible for our own things. The bird's got to fly, right, from the nest. Some of you are still praying, right, for your birds to fly, right? You know? I understand it happens, right? But yeah, there's got to come a point where all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I got to start standing on my own two feet here. I got to start taking responsibility. I got to start growing up. I can't be the little kid anymore. I got to put my toys away, right? I got to go out and get a job. I got to pay bills. I got to get my own place, right? All of a sudden, there's all these needs you didn't have before, right? I've been the bachelor guy there, you know? Open up my fridge, and there's ketchup packets and some gravy left over from Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? You know, I've sat down in front of the TV watching a movie. That's the best ketchup packet I ever had, right? That reality kicks in sometimes, right? You're like, man, all I got left is that gravy. Now I got to make that last, right? Yeah, that happens because that's life. You know, we kind of chuckled the other day. We were watching the movie The Nativity, and I got to the point where Mary gives birth to Jesus, and Mackenzie was there and saw that, and she got all distraught. She didn't want to grow up anymore. She saw that and said, I do not want to have baby pain. And she said, I don't want to grow up. She was all distraught. We had to take about 5-10 minutes to talk her down off the ledge of growing up, right? But, you know, Mackenzie, she's going to have to grow up at some point in time. Yeah, we do. And you know what? Paul says here, guess what we have to do in our walk with Christ? What do we have to do in our faith in Christ? We have to grow up. We have to grow up. We have to grow up in our faith, right? Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children. No more children. And he describes what a child in faith looks like. What does a child in faith look like? He says, tossed to and fro, right? A child in Christ is tossed to and fro. That phrase there means to surge or fluctuate like the waves, right? Anybody ever be out in the ocean? Going up and down, right? That's what sometimes you're up, woo, sometimes you're low. I think about when I was in high school learning how to surf. I had a buddy who was a big-time surfer. He'd been surfing since he was little. And so, I mean, I'm pretty much just kind of starting. And I let him con me into going out with him on a big day. I guess the storm had just come by, I'm trying to remember. But they were huge. They were like 6-8-foot waves. And let me tell you what, he goes out there, woo, paddling out there. Within 5 minutes, he's out there surfing. Man, it took me almost 45 minutes to paddle out past the breakers. I'm like paddling out, crashing and pounding, and I'm sucking in water, and I'm up, and I'm down, and I'm like, oh. Finally, I'm going, I get out there, and my arms are all rubbery, and I'm sitting around the board floating, and he's like, oh, it's about time you made it out. Well, thanks, buddy. And then here comes the first wave. He's like, this one's all yours. I'm like, woo, awesome. So I'm going paddling, and I get up on my board, and I'm going, and that wave's like, like that over me, and I'm like, ah, boom, down, and I was tossed all over the place. There was sand in places I don't want to talk about, right? I was drug all in the dirt. My face was scratched up. I had the cord all wrapped around me. I was tossed to and fro. That was the situation. And let me tell you what, there's believers like that all the time. They're tossed to and fro. They're up and down. They're sad. They're happy. Why is God doing this to me? God's great. You know, it's just nonstop. Paul says you got to stop. You can't be tossed to and fro. You got to get to the point where you're just coasting through those waves. You're going under them. You're resting with it. You're all set. He says, carried about with every wind of doctrine. A child in Christ, someone who's not growing, is carried about by every wind of doctrine. They're like a leaf blowing in the wind. Wherever the wind blows, that's the way they go. Ooh, this person says this. This is what I believe. Ooh, I read this book. This is what I believe. And they have no set doctrine, no set belief. And they never grow. And they constantly struggle. He says somebody who isn't growing is deceived by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, by the fraudulent and deceptive plans of others. And they get entrapped and ensnared in all sorts of different things. Listen, you've got to reach the point in your walk with Christ. You got to reach a point that you're not a spiritual child anymore. And I know we're all at different places, we're all at different points. But there comes a time in your life where your main spiritual growth isn't coming from up here. It's coming from your own study you're doing at home, digging in the book. There's got to come a point in time where Pastor Dan's teaching and my teaching and the other pastor's teaching, man, that's just salt on the food, right? That's just adding a little extra flavor. That's icing on the cake, right? There's got to come a point in time. And I know there's a time in life, I was a new believer too, that every little bit was a learning moment, and it's great. But you got to grow. You got to get to the point where you don't have to rely on others to start gleaning and gaining the knowledge that God has in his word, that you're now able to feed yourself. At some point in time, you have to grow in your relationship with Christ simply by looking at his truth and standing on his word. You know, that's what Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 2:15, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God. How do you show yourself approved unto God? Study. He didn't say listen to the preacher, right? He doesn't say listen to the preacher to show thyself approved unto God. He says study. So you need to be taking what we're taught up here and then digging in deeper. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, it's kind of neat, those three things in there that Paul talks about that immature believer, right? Tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the craftiness and sleight of men. If they applied 2 Timothy 2:15 to their lives, it would take care of every single one of those things, right? Why? Because they'd be rightly dividing, they'd be studying, they'd be in there working, and they'd understand the word of truth. You got to study. You got to start getting into this. You got to have a hunger for his word. You got to have a desire. You know, when I got back devoted to the Lord again back in 2005, and I started coming here, and I knew nothing about right division. I had all this kind of Bible knowledge floating in my head, and none of it made sense. And all of a sudden, I started understanding this principle of 2 Timothy 2:15, and all of these things that were bouncing around in my head, not making sense, started just falling into place. I mean, it was just, I was like, woo, yeah. I was having like a Bible party in my apartment every time just by myself. Every new thing was coming. It was just, I couldn't get enough. I'd fall asleep for a couple hours and then wake up and study for another 6 to 8, just digging in it and going. I spent whole weekends just diving in. Why? Because I was discovering new and great stuff, and it was doing amazing things in my life that I never experienced before. And we got to keep that going. All of us have got to have that hunger and that desire and that excitement. Because all of that you do is getting you prepared and matured to step out from this little coin right here and get ready for eternity. And that's how you will start serving faithfully. Right? 1 Corinthians 3:2, Paul says, I've fed you with milk, not with meat. Here's these little babes in Christ, he calls them. He couldn't give them meat. They couldn't have that big old fat steak, right? They couldn't eat on that big old rib of the word. They had to just dribble a little bottle, right? Yeah. He said, I had to feed you with milk, not with meat. Why? For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Man, these were believers. I mean, they had Paul himself sharing the truth with them. And yet they still weren't getting this idea of growing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:20, he says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Right? In understanding the Bible. Don't be a child. Grow up. You got to get beyond the first grade. Right? You got to graduate. You got to graduate. He says, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. Don't be little boys. Be mature, be men. You got to grow up. You know, you need to build for yourself a strong barrier against false teaching and deception. And the only way you're going to do this is through a mature understanding of God's truth. Right? Paul back here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, he gives one of the keys to doing this. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, speaking the truth in love. And listen, this isn't just for others. You know, we need to be speaking the truth in love to others, right? But we need to be speaking the truth in love to ourselves. We need to be willing to take God's truth and the conviction that comes along with it and go, ouch, God's just nailing me right there. You know what? I'm not doing these things. I'm not mature in this area. I need to start making changes. I need to start growing up. I need to start setting some of this foolishness aside. I need to focus more. We got to share the truth in love. Truth is where the answer lies. And growth only happens when you start accepting God's truth and seek to allow it to change your life. We got to grow up in Christ. Listen, depending on when you got saved, you know, we're all at different points, right? We should be demonstrating some kind of maturity. You know, hey, we're going into a new year. It's 2016. Maybe you just got saved this year, 2015. You know, maybe it's at the beginning of the year, January. Now you can look back a whole year and start 2016 going, you know what? I got saved January of last year. Have I changed? Have I grown? Or am I at the same place that I was last year? You know, if you're one of those people that maybe look back and go, you know what, I've been saved a year, I've been saved 5 years, I've been saved 15, 20, maybe 30 years, and you know what, I'm no different than the first day I got saved, now I can make a change. You know what, I'm going to start growing up in Christ. Listen, 2016 is a brand new year, and with a brand new year comes a brand new opportunity to make the changes that you need to make in your life to serve the Lord more faithfully than you ever have before. You know, in Christ, God says that we're all new creatures. All the old things are passed away. Isn't that awesome? God doesn't hold our past against us. We're new creatures. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You've got a new opportunity going into next year. But if you're going to faithfully serve the Lord, you got to find contentment where you're serving. Just rest where you're at and give God your all. You got to understand and focus in on your heavenly status, that great position you have in Christ. And then you need to be seeking to mature in your spiritual life. You need to be growing in your knowledge and understanding and love of God's truth.